And we're live.
Hey, guys, and welcome to another podcast of Masters of the Galaxy podcast. And I am Brian Ozone, along with my buddy Josh Mead. What's going on, Josh? How's everything?
Whole bunch of nothing.
Whole bunch of nothing. Love to hear it. Andrew's not here this week, but he will return next week, he said. So we will be with him next week. And on this glorious day, we will be talking about the beginnings, I guess, of Masters, right? That's what you can say?
I guess so. Like those three mini comic, or not mini comics, but the three comics that came out where he was.
The DC comics.
Yeah, the DC comics. This is there's still some elements from the TV show in it. Prince Adam, things like that. But this is around the beginning of all that.
Right. Okay. So we'll I guess we'll start with the mini comics, the Alcala mini comics, the first three, I guess, that came out with the original figures that kind of had a different storyline to Masters other than the Filmation, which most people know and hold dear to the heart, I guess.
Right, because that's what they saw.
Right. That's what they grew up with. Because, I mean, you know, not for nothing, most of us were kids at the time and didn't really know much to read or
or
keep the mini comics for years until you can read, you know. So most people
were more adult oriented.
Definitely.
If you read them, they weren't like sexual or anything, but they had more
adult content.
Yeah.
No, definitely. To me, it was just cool to have the mini comics with the figure for some reason, because I don't know, a lot of the toys at that era, the early 80s, mid 80s, all the toys pretty much came with the comic. I know that the DC Superpowers came with the comic, the mini comic. And I forget who else. I'm not sure about the Sectors.
I never had a Sector. I know that my best friend did.
Yeah, I had them.
One that looked like a tarantula, I think.
Yeah. I'm just throwing them out. I think they did. I'm not sure, but anyway, let's get back.
X-Star have comics?
I don't know. Wasn't too fond.
No, they came with the little green guy.
Yeah. No, I don't know, honestly.
Yeah.
But
the thing that I liked best about these was that gave you so much in the way of detail, like, that you wouldn't have otherwise had. A lot of the toys, everyone's like, oh, the TV show was made to sell toys. Yes, but the toys, nothing to do with the TV show.
Okay.
Like, there was stuff in the toy line that you would have that never made it to the TV show.
Well, time out. They wanted to include certain things. They just didn't get to it.
Right.
You know, that was a problem. Later on in the line, not in the beginning of the line. In the beginning of the line, basically, you had three mini comics and kind of. It gave you a more of a barbarian sense to and a feel like a savagey free feel
yep.
to Masters, and it was great. I mean, for me, is my favorite part, and I just
that's
loved.
Where it comes from for me.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I mean, the Sorceress gave, well, the Green Goddess gave He-Man the weapons, the power vest. A lot of people leave out the power vest.
Yeah, they forget about the fact that originally all of He-Man's powers came from the equipment that he had.
Yeah.
He could whoop you without his equipment.
Right. He was a strong
but just slap his equipment.
Right. He was a strong guy. He came from the jungle.
He broke an alligator thing's jaw open. Arms. I mean, just snapped its jaw.
Right.
So he was not a sissy.
Right.
Without the boosts. roots were technology. If you look at it, when the Green Goddess, she's secretive about it. She doesn't tell him that she believes he is the King Grayskull.
Okay.
And she gives him all this technology. And the axe, the shield, the vests. He had two vests. The boots, and the sled.
Yeah, the sky sled.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
The sky sled?
Right.
These were technological things that were left over from like hundreds of years ago from a great war that had destroyed the entire planet. And if you read the original comic, basically you were living in the post-apocalyptic aftermath of lost technology.
Right, the Great Wars or whatever they want to call it.
Never explained what those were, and then they eventually turned it into Grayskull, King Grayskull, blah blah blah. And they went that way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was King Grayskull came more in the classics line, but you know, it was
no. Yeah, you're right.
It was more of hero.
No. King Grayskull came out in a 2000X.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Right, you're right. But even before all of that, I mean, it was hero. I would have loved for Preternia to come out and have that shown. That would have been awesome. Even if they would have did it in 2000X in episode,
I would have liked to see
knocked
that.
It out of the park, man. They would have killed it. Yeah.
I really wish that they had of. It wasn't that I hated King Grayskull. It's that it felt like it. How do I put this?
Well, I didn't hate King Grayskull until the classics replaced him, replaced Hero for him. And to me, that just destroyed the whole thing that I knew until classics.
Predate all of it. Like, Hero, like, pre-Eternia times.
Well, Hero was pre-Eternia times, correct?
Right, so he could still be in the story.
Right. Well, they in the classics, the bios, they kind of wrote him in. I honestly forget what the bio is. I haven't read it in a long time. But he does exist.
I know those bios tick you off.
Yeah, they did, because I didn't like them. I thought they weren't written very well, and Scott included.
You didn't like people killing each other and this person killing that person.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that was just bogus, man. I mean, you got these guys your whole life, you know about these people, and then some guy comes and decides to write a bio and kills off Stratos and whoever else. I mean, to me, that was just stupid.
If Stratos doesn't die in a drinking and driving flying accident, which we could all learn from with a healthy moral.
Well, let me see here. Let me see here. You know.
Hey, I like.
Oh, I loved it. It definitely fit him.
It's very good.
You're looking sharp there, young man.
I just came from the bathroom and sprayed some of your fine incense. Now it smells like citrus.
Is that axe you have on?
Oh God. But yeah, like. The thing that bothered me with King Grayskull, it felt like you were taking away the uniqueness of He-Man and showing that he is actually a pale imitation, much bigger and therefore much better person. And it really kind of irked me, because it was like, not only does he look like him, but he's bigger than him. Even the cat he rode is bigger than Battle Cat. And I'm over going, oh, come on, man. No.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, in the MYP cartoon, for me, it worked. I liked it. I thought that episode was awesome. I mean, it was cool. It was cool, but I understand where you're coming from. I believe
a lot of people did like it. I say fooey to them, too.
I know where you're coming from. I mean, you the uniqueness of both of them, just everything. It was just to me. I'm with you on that. I didn't like the fact that here, King Grayskull and He-Man kind of exactly did look alike, and
there was no reason for that either, because we both know that Hero and Dare, both of which had the power of Grayskull, had completely different styles and looks.
Right. Right.
Dare was like a mid-level wizard.
Dare. Not Dare.
Dare.
Eldor.
No, Hero. Hero. The adopted son of He-Man. They were going to do a whole thing about this guy named Dare.
Right. Yes. Okay. Right. Okay.
And he had a bird instead of a tiger.
Right. That's the Filmation that that they were going to create.
Right.
After She-Ra.
And then we know that. Yeah. And then we know that Hero was more of a wizard. Hero actually had more in common to me with Skeletor than he did with He-Man. Tapped into the power and used it in a less physical
magical
manner.
Way. Yeah.
Right. He used it like lightning bolts and stuff, and he had a staff. And yeah, physically speaking, he was He-Man powers, but he didn't use it like that. He didn't have a sword. And so, but then again, that also begs the question, when you start getting into that, how did they call the power to themselves then? And does the sword really have anything to do with who gets the power and how?
Well, that totally negates the half swords of the power sword from
exactly
the original mini
comics. Well, they did a lot of weird stuff with that, though.
Yes, they did. But
in the beginning, He-Man had the axe. He did not have a sword.
Exactly. Well, he didn't find the other half yet.
The other half, if I recall, was either up in a mountain being protected by Stratos, or it was down in an ocean in America, yeah, in Earth or something. It's been a long time since I've read the story.
Yeah, me too. But again, he only had his accident, and again, his power came from the power vest.
Yeah, so his strength was he was already strong enough that he could whoop anybody. There was nobody with the strength that could beat him physically.
But the power vest times 10 that, you know, or whatever, times 100 that, you know,
And then, like, he put on the other power vest that made him immune to damage.
Right. There was no, by the powers of Grayskull.
Right, no, there was none of that.
There was no transformation or something like that. It was basically, he was him right away. Once he put the power vest on, he was He-Man.
He was already He-Man. He was He-Man when he got there.
Right. He just didn't know
it. He goes off and punches a mountain and says, "There's my house."
Ridiculous.
It's like, screw you, mountain. I'm going to have my house convenient to where I want it.
Yeah. Yeah. But then, you know, we have, again, we have those first couple of mini comics.
Mm-hmm.
And then we jump to the DC part, and DC the first appearance was with Superman, which we all know.
And then we
had the 3-part miniseries.
I'm trying to be good.
Try.
Promised.
The 3-part miniseries where you had the first appearance of Adam.
Mm-hmm. In the comics, yeah. And Superman's in this too.
He's not in the 3-part.
Briefly.
No, he's not.
No, he's in it.
Are you sure?
Yes, he is. He's getting. Let's see. In the first step, in the first book, right? You got. It's called "The Fate Is the Killer," and it's got you've got Zodak showing up, and you got them hoeing it up with a couple of chicks.
No, that was the preview. That wasn't the first issue.
Right.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, because I've got that, and I was like, it doesn't say free gift from the New York, from the new DC, and it doesn't tell me what episode it was or what book it was. So I thought this was the first
Yeah, no.
It was a preview that was inserted into a bunch of comics.
God, see, right. That explains why none of this was connected and the story was confusing me. To read it, and I was like, I don't remember any of this.
Yeah, Superman wasn't in the three-part episode.
He was in the
He was in his own story. Again, he was in the DC Comics Presents 48 or 47 or something like that. And and basically, we know what that happened.
Well, we don't talk about that.
Yeah, well, it was kind of a bummer. But again, it was a DC comic, so the DC guy had to win, unfortunately. But
he didn't win.
Yeah, it was a draw, right?
That's right. Okay. You don't sit there and knock someone down and fly away like a little girl and claim winning.
Right.
Winning.
It's all right. You'll get through it. So. All right. So.
Okay, I'm good. I'm okay.
So we have the three-part miniseries. And again, that's before Filmation. So again, you have that other feeling to it, the savagery,
still have the feel of the Ocala
sword and sorcery,
style.
You know? Yeah. You have that. And then we kind of lose that element when Filmation comes. And to me, it was such a downer that they didn't bring that into the cartoon. They should have. I think it would have been a lot better.
It was a huge loss.
As a kid, Filmation worked. When I got older, now I'm 38, you know, a couple years ago, whatever, 10 years ago, I finally saw all of them again. They were good, but they weren't great to me. Because of the fact they didn't have that sword and sorcery in it anymore. And it kind of like pissed me off a little bit because I was disappointed thinking that it would be in it. Because I totally didn't remember most of that as a kid, the Filmation cartoon. So, again, rewatching it was great. But that element, man, it just, to me, that's the best of how He-Man acts and reacts.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It
I
is.
Just, to me,
oh, this one, I just got it. I lost a... Yeah. Okay.
What?
Tempt of the God. To tempt,
to tempt
the God.
The gods. That's
what
it.
The
yes.
original is called. Yes. And you have He-Man flying in with... Not even... Well, not flying in, but riding Battle Cat in with his arms out, not even bother trying to guide him because... It's Battle Cat. He does what he wants.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't talk either, and that's something else that I like.
Oh, no. He talks in this.
He does talk in the three?
No, he does talk in this.
Okay. Well,
yes. Right here, he basically hates everything. I mean, really.
Oh, that's right. He's grumpy in that. Yes, I remember.
He's grumpy. And he's like, I don't know what it is, but I already hate it.
Right. Yeah.
So angry.
Yeah. But again, to me, I liked it when he didn't talk. I thought even though the MYP cartoon, Battle Cat didn't talk, and I think that was great. Again, as a kid, Filmation worked with him talking, but I didn't like it. To me, it just took something away from it all. I don't know. Do you like it?
I liked it. I liked that they. I didn't like that. He didn't talk in the new series that came out with the Pop Man and the Eternity War series. I liked him talking. I felt like he added something to it. Comics in the mini comics, he was one of the few people who could really verbally take it to He-Man. Like, he wasn't always nice to He-Man. Sometimes he was rude to him. And he's one of the few people who would talk to He-Man and tell him how it was.
Get away with it.
And
he can get away with it.
Huh? And get away with it. Yeah. And not be afraid of getting, you know, turned into ash just by being backhanded, you know?
Right.
If you read the first comic here, you know, there's a lot going on in here. You've got, I mean, you've got like the full disappointment the King has for Adam.
Yeah.
I mean, pure disappointment. It's like sad, wishing that He-Man was his son and not Adam.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
And you've got, that's sad. You know, I mean, just the dynamic, like the dynamic movement of Battle Cat. It looks like who him studied how cats move.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Look at page 6. On page 6, when he's rearing up, he's not rearing up like a horse.
Okay.
His the arms, the muscles, the paws, they are in such a way that a cat extend its arms in that position. Rearing up like a horse would. You know? They're paying a lot of respect just to Battle Cat.
Right, right.
About now?
I'm trying to find it. But I again, I haven't seen it in a while, but
oh, and here, oh my gosh. This I didn't expect. The sorceress gets punched in the face by Skeletor.
Does she?
Yeah, on page 9, man. Colcock right in the jaw.
Wow.
Teela and the sorceress, or something like that, they weren't. The sorceress didn't look like a bird at this time. The snake head dress and chest guard.
Yeah, right.
That you see in the original Teela.
Yes.
The point of that, I guess, was that you had two toys for the price of one.
Yes. That was Teela, the idea. Right. Right.
I was guessing on that. That was a good guess on my part, but I was guessing.
Yeah, that's what they did.
Yeah. Shows that basically Battle Cat is really mad because of what Skeletor did. And he wants to just gut him and watch him eat and bleed to death.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you're like, wow, Battle Cat holds nothing back.
No, he's very, very forward and very grumpy in this.
Yeah. Oh, this is the scene I was telling you guys about right here. 12. If you remember, I said this a while back. When He-Man comes to the castle, and he's just going to walk right in, right? And the guards stop him. Teela comes out. This is Battle Armor Teela. With the blonde hair and the metal bra.
Right.
She comes out and says, hold up, I'd really rather not butcher my guards.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just going to walk right through it.
Yep.
Through them. Just walk right through them. And she goes, hey, guys, let him go through. I'd really rather you not die horribly at this guy's hands. You're not going to stop him. And right here is frickin' Randor talking trash about Adam, wishing he was He-Man instead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, it's funny. This is a good comic. This is old school style of comics. You got He-Man here getting attacked and bitten in the side by a demon, and he's ignoring it like it doesn't even
doesn't exist. Doesn't happen.
Yeah, like just walks through him, and he doesn't even have his power sword at this point.
No, he's barehanded with his left hand, and he has the axe in his right hand at this point.
Yeah, yeah, and it's a pistol.
Right, right.
And then up here at one point, I don't know if this one. Oh, no, that was a different one. But I know there's another comic I was reading where they just, I think it's the next one. Teela just gives him her sword and just shoots things with a laser because he's like, here. And like sitting there with a girl's sword and his axe, not giving a crap and just killing stuff.
Right.
And this is just the way it was, man. These comics, they were like, it was the ebb and flow of battle.
Right. To me, this is kind of like, you know, when you're growing up in school and you hear about, like, King Arthur, the Round Table.
Same type of art.
And stuff like that. Like, that's what I believe it is. You know, it's, this is, to me, He-Man. You know, this is what I portray him as. Yes. Not Filmation. Not even, like, MYP. This is it. Mm-hmm. I mean.
Where He-Man, that he punches something and destroys it. And even Battle Cat, who will go insane if he doesn't fight, tells him to calm down.
Yeah.
I mean, when a half-dragon insane tells you to chill, you have an issue.
Right. Well, the two of them...
They're two peas in a pod.
Basically, yeah. I mean,
I love them.
Well, to me, they gel very well in the beginnings. Like, you know, like, again, this in the mini-comics. They had a different relationship, sort of. It was more of, like, a fighting feel. And if they didn't get their fight on, so to speak, you know, they kind of, you know. Well,
if he didn't get the fight, it was theorized. And it's touched on this comic here.
Right.
That it was theorized that if Battle Cat didn't have battle, he would go insane. And go
pretty
crazy.
Much. Yeah, pretty much.
And he would just start attacking, and even He-Man wouldn't be able to stop him.
Right.
And, but back in, like I said, He-Man didn't have Superman strength back then. It wasn't touched on. It wasn't even a
thing to think about.
It wasn't even, you know, it was like Conan. Conan, you never thought about how strong is he.
But Conan's a good thing to bring up because the Conan movies were pretty much what I portrayed He-Man and the toys when I played with them as a kid.
It too.
You know.
And that's something that's important right there. When I was a kid, I was never worried about how strong Superman was compared to He-Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just punched He-Man out. I mean, I just punched Superman out and walked off with Wonder Woman.
Good one. I like that.
You know, I mean, He-Man got Barbie. He got Lady J.
Lady J. Scarlet.
Yeah, and Scarlet. No. I take that back. He didn't get Scarlet because even I wasn't going to mess with Snake Eyes. Like, no.
But
Duke was a punk.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this kind of, like, right here where it has this demon just sinking his teeth.
Yeah.
Into the side of He-Man. And He-Man ain't got no invulnerability.
And he's just ignoring it like it's not even there.
Really? He's got invulnerability. We use the word invulnerability. It's not the word we should be using, but there's different levels of it. And that's a pretty obvious level of invulnerability there.
Right.
Speaking of the comics, something else I had noticed going back through the series, the new one that just came out.
What are you talking about? The comic?
I'm talking about the He-Man versus Thundercats comic?
Yes, what about it?
Okay, remember a while back there was that whole hoopla where I was like, well, He-Man's invulnerable and shouldn't be able to bleed by getting hit in the face by Monkeying because of X reasons. And
right.
People were all, oh, you're an idiot and you should be hung to death, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Actually, I kind of feel I'm still right because in two or three pages later, he is hit by beams that are so heavy, that make him so heavy that he sinks through solid rock into the bowels of the earth. Now, if you can make someone that heavy and they don't crush like an egg, he's invulnerable. It's hard for me to justify that person living through that kind of density change without invulnerability.
So what are you saying? He-Man is invulnerable?
Saying that He-Man is... I believe, okay, it is my opinion, educated in the comic science-y-ness of this.
Okay.
It is an opinion of mine that I hold that has not been able to, no one has been able to sway me on, is the same level of invulnerability as Superman without his force shield. In other words, if Superman did not have his force field, that electromagnetic right. field, he would have the exact same durability as He-Man. The force field is what gives him the edge in invulnerability.
Okay.
Now, that being said, we all know that that magic bypasses the field anyway, so edge there if they fight. But, you know, in general, I lean towards that, given everything we know and the fact that there are so many different canons out there for He-Man and Masters of the Universe, and each one has a different portrayal. So it just keeps going and going, and you never really have a solid portrayal of what his abilities are.
Right. So again, what you're saying that he's definitely invulnerable?
I am saying that yes, He-Man, if written correctly and if someone pays attention to his past and abilities, should portray him as invulnerable to most damage and not just someone who gets hit in the face and bleeds.
Okay.
Superman bleed plenty of times.
Yes, yes. And in the movie, he bleeds as well with Christopher Reeves.
And here's the worst part. When you say, oh, Superman's invulnerable, okay, that's cool. I can get behind that. Does that mean then that Doomsday isn't invulnerable because he beat Doomsday? Is that going to mean that not invulnerable because he beat Darkseid? Does that mean that Zod wasn't invulnerable because he beat Zod? I mean, when you look at invulnerability, it's a word that really isn't correctly used. And for people to act like just because Superman knocked him down in that one comic, that shows that he's not as tough as Superman. Well, guess what? We get into any fight where someone knocks me down, I could probably get back up and beat that person. Just because someone knocks me down, it never has.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of experience in that area.
Gotcha.
Big Mouth gets punched a lot.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And a lot of traction on these teeth. But anyway, back to the original comic. I am inclined to say, even in the early days of He-Man, he had a level of invulnerability. Magical demons would be able to just sink their teeth right through his flesh.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, there's just nothing else about that.
Yeah. I mean, there's got to be a... Yeah, he might be just that powerful that it doesn't affect him. Maybe he's
blocked. Well, that's a point of invulnerability, though.
Yeah.
In favor of invulnerability. Strength and invulnerability, there's a lot of people who've written, like, questions and dissertations on the subject that will tell you exactly what I said comes with invulnerability. That's kind of one of those powers that go hand in hand.
Right.
And that's how a lot of other people see it. And they go, well, it's magic, so, that he's just magic. That does... So, right? Okay, let's say I am the person who made the power sword. Okay. I got this superpower that's going to turn this guy into super strong dude that can lift a mountain. Got to make a spell here that makes him able to lift that mountain.
Right.
So it's the magic lifting the mountain. And I'm going to put it all on this guy, but you know what I'm not going to do? Other things. But I'm not going to make this guy able to take a shot to the face by a shotgun. Really? Really, asshole? You're going to make me a target? This guy just lifted a tank. Kill him. Oh, look at that. A 22 just blew his brains out. You know, that wasn't so bad. I was scared there, legitimately. But apparently this guy's a bitch. You know?
Yeah. You all right now? You got your frustrations out?
No. So many frustrations. You have no idea. Oh, I love you guys. I love you. In my head.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I guess we'll close it on out then. I mean, pretty much had to say what we had to say. Do you have anything else left, Josh?
Oh, I've got a full tank of hate.
Well, besides that.
I'm not saying that hate mail fuels me. Say that I need new material because the old taste of the old is bland.
Very wise. Very wise words. Words of wisdom.
Yes. Good right, night, everybody.
He has left the building. Just want to say, everybody, thanks for listening. And go to Masters of the Galaxy Facebook page. Check out popculturenetwork.com. Check out HeManWorld.com. The all-encompassing Facebook page. And we got a new one. Check out HeMan.org, man. So until next time, rock on, man.
Peace.